I couldn't get past the door. All I could see was Lego, cuddly toys, books, stickers. It looked like complete chaos. I didn't know where to put my feet. Maybe it's your own bedroom. Maybe it's your desk at work. I sort of had a conscience clear out this week. The colleagues working for me said, "Why are you tidying your desk, Clive?" Well, you know what? I've had a prick of conscience here. Or maybe chaos brings up things that are going on in your life. Maybe your life feels chaotic. And maybe there are other things going on that feels chaotic to you. You don't understand what's going on. You don't understand why it's happening. And you don't understand why it's happening to you. Fear can start to enter your heart when you find chaos in your life. And you know what? Fear can be very crippling to us. It can stop us from doing the things that we're supposed to do. It can start and lead to depression and stress and anxiety. And you know what? It even can give us a wrong view of God. You see, our world is obsessed with resolving fear, even to the point when we want to control how we die. You heard of that? Assisted suicide, or they've named it something different. They've named it dignity in dying. So, what is the antidote to fear? When our life is in a mess, when our church is in a mess, Lord, how do I know you're in control? How can my fear be calmed? If we have good teaching, we know that God is in control. But where in the Bible can we go to know that he's in control in all situations? And shows clearly throughout, through a difficult circumstance, he's in control. And fear is relieved. There are, of course, lots of examples we can find, but I was drawn especially to our passage this morning in Mark chapter 4. Jesus teaches the disciples. And what does he teach them? He teaches them the antidote to fear. Faith. Jesus tells the disciples and us that the antidote to fear, the antidote to chaos and understanding all that goes on is by faith. When we don't understand why things are happening, when we feel overwhelmed, when we're in danger of sinking, faith is what overcomes fear. But not just any faith. Hebrews 12 tells us this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, our faith, if it is to be the antidote to fear, has to be firmly rooted in Jesus Christ, looking to Jesus, the very one who has given us faith in the first place as a gift. You see, this antidote has been given to us as a gift from God himself. So we need to look into Mark's account, and we're going to do that this morning. just this short snippet. And I like to see Mark's gospel. It's almost like a film trailer. Mark goes through it very quickly and picks out points that he sees. And it comes across very quickly to us. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to see what happens to the disciples when they're at sea. So there in verses 35 to 41, evening had come and it was now time for the disciples to leave. And Jesus says to the disciples, let's go and get in this boat and we're going to travel to the other side. So they're in the boat, and as they're going along in the boat, we don't know when, but somewhere in that journey, Jesus falls asleep. And as he falls asleep, there becomes a great wind. Great waves start bashing this poor boat around. And it's not just one boat, there are several boats. And as these waves start to hit the boat, the disciples become terrified. They are scared. I don't know what they did before they woke Jesus, but they were clearly scared. And then they woke Jesus, and then Jesus spoke to them. Well, first of all, he speaks to the wind and the waves. He says to them, peace, be calm. And then he turns to the disciples and says to them, why are you so afraid? Why are you fearful? You still have no faith. They were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? These disciples in the boat see Jesus do something miraculous and they're filled with fear. So let's have a look through this passage. Let's have a look at how their faith was strengthened. The first thing that we notice is that it's Jesus that plans the trip. Verse 35, he said, that is Jesus, to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. You see, it's Jesus' incentive. It's not something that he went along with. It's something that he absolutely planned. Do you think that Jesus knew the weather forecast for that day? Do you think he knew what it was going to be like? That the storm was going to come. You see, Jesus knew what was going to happen. If we knew that the storm was going to happen and we were going to get on that boat, what would we do? I think we'd put it off. We'd leave it till tomorrow. We would say, now is not the time to go. But you see, Jesus knew the whole purpose of this trip was to strengthen the faith of those disciples. He was going to exercise and build on their faith. We should know from other passages in Scripture that it's not unusual that things go wrong because God has told us so. When things go wrong, this is part of my training, is what it's supposed to be saying to us. And exercising my faith. You see, faith can be likened to a muscle. Not my muscles, they're not very big. But to light muscles. I don't know if you've ever been bedbound before, but it only takes a few weeks of not using your muscles that they start to become weak and waste away. If we don't exercise our muscles, then they don't grow in strength. They are meant to be active. If there's no exercise of faith, how can we expect it to grow? It won't become strong. You see, if we planned our lives, we would make it easy for ourselves. And we wouldn't grow. We wouldn't get very much exercise. God has given us this gift of faith to be used. You see, the disciples here are in Jesus' hands. He is the one who is planning. We are going to have difficult times and storms in our lives. Each one of us goes through different storms. Some of us go through the same storm, just like we are together as a church. You see, trials are a normal part of Christian living, a necessary part of Christian living. And the Lord knows that. You see, He knows what He's doing for our blessing and benefit, even if we don't understand it. The second thing we notice is not only that it was planned, but He gave the orders to get to the other side. Now, do you think that anyone could prevent Christ's commands from being fulfilled? Any work He's going to do will be done. He will always take anyone from one side to the other safely. Jesus said to His disciples that He would take them to the other side of the lake. They were guaranteed to get to the other side safely. You see, from Jesus' words, there should have been no doubt. We are guaranteed a certainty to get what God has set out for us. And that isn't just us, but for us as a church, that God will complete what He set out for us. He's not going to lead us halfway through. He's going to carry us on until the end. And you know what? It's faith strengthening. And He will complete it. Jesus is saying to us through this passage very clearly, have you heard what I've said? Do you not take me at my word? These things are designed to strengthen our faith. The third thing to notice is that Jesus is in the boat with them. If Jesus was in the boat with them, then they would have had nothing to fear. They should have had nothing to fear. And how do we know that? The Bible is full of occasions where the promise of the presence of the Lord dispels fear. When Joshua was full of fear to enter the promised land, God said to him, I am with you. And then we have Psalm 23, don't we? Which is a powerful psalm where we have the great promise, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. And it's the same here. Jesus is in the boat with them. And knowing that, there should have been no trace of fear. You see, their reaction, don't you care if we drown, shows real fear. Some of them were experienced boatmen, not all of them. Levi, who was in the boat, had a desk job. That's comforting for me because I'm a desk man. But for most of them in that boat, it was going to be a routine journey. So when the storm came, it must have been a significant storm to frighten them. But Jesus is in that boat. Their words and actions said loud and clear, "Don't you care, Jesus?" What they should have realized is the proof that he did care was the fact that he was in the boat with them. We have Christ with us. Jesus promised he would never leave us or forsake us. However rampant the storm is around us, however we may feel, we will not go down. Christ will not sink with you. Jesus is God, but he's also man. And that's why he's asleep there in the boat. Because that's another thing that we're meant to realize about Jesus, is that he's not only God, but he's also man. Knowing who Jesus is and the theology behind his person is amazing. What do I mean by that? He is God made man. As soon as we even begin to try and comprehend it, it should astound us. It's an astonishing thing. And we see in these few verses Jesus' meekness and majesty all together because he sleeps for exhaustion, just like we do. You see, Jesus is asleep because he's been teaching all day and he's exhausted. This is a man with physical human needs, just like us. He's in the stern. It's probably a little drier than everywhere else, but even so, this is an open boat they're on. It's not some luxury yacht with a soundproofed cabin and stabilizers. So this boat is really being chucked about. But Jesus sleeps through the crashing waves and the howling wind and the pitching of the boat. He continues to sleep, not because of some sleeping pill he's had, but because he's at peace with what's going on around him, even though it seems chaotic. You see, I think we're supposed to notice here that because Jesus is also man, it's that he understands entirely what we go through. He's experienced it. All of us have our own struggles, and the Lord can uniquely identify with you and reach you where you are. He knows, understands all that we go through together as a church. All because he is the God-man who came and dwelt among us. There's no other faith that gives you that. And here is Jesus asleep in the boat. Sometimes when we're going through tough times as Christians and we don't know why and we ask the question, where is God in this? He's there with us. Even when we think God is being silent. I don't know about you, but when you learn a new subject, a new skill, your teacher will talk you through all and practice. Eventually, you'll come to the test to find out how much you've learnt. But during the test, your teacher stays silent. It wouldn't be a very good test if they kept giving you tips and hints all the way through. You see, Jesus was testing their faith to make it strong. The early church drew great comfort from this story because when they felt they were being overwhelmed, when they felt they were going to sink, they didn't because Jesus was there in the storm with them. The Lord of all the universe is asleep. It's going to be all right. The next thing we see is Jesus calms the storm. As Jesus awakes, he gets up and he rebukes. He warns the weather forcibly. And he says it with just his words, "Peace, be still." And there was no delay. There was a great calm, completely calm. In the space of a moment, everything is quiet and still. Have you ever seen power like that before? The disciples hadn't. The God who creates order out of chaos, he did that here. But he's also done it before. He did it at the beginning when he created the world. He spoke the word so that order and harmony came out of chaos. The Son of God does that here. It's only God who can calm the waves. You see, the Psalms, the book of Psalms is full of how the waters are raging and God calms them. In Psalm 65, it says, "By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth. And for the farthest seas, the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of his peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy." Jesus does not just calm the wind and the waves, you see, but everything. The powers that rage against us, creating chaos, are calmed by his words. Our lives and churches are in such a mess, can be calmed by his words. If we know God can do that, our fears should be quenched. If we had real faith that Jesus is in control of everything, when it gets rough, when we can't see enough ahead, it's faith in Jesus that will calm us. So who is this? Verse 41. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. The disciples have just witnessed divine spiritual power. They have seen this man, Jesus, do the impossible. And it scares them. The Greek says they are more frightened and fearful after the calming of the storm than when they were in it. It says they feared a great fear. Well, why? They've just come out of the storm. Why are they so fearful? And I think it's because of this. They realize what Psalm 46 verse 10 says. And this is what it says. "Be still and know that I am God." That doesn't mean be quiet or sit still or be reverent, but really know who God is. Being in his presence, knowing him personally, it brings about his majesty. And when the disciples thought about it, it brought godly fear upon them. They had just started to realize the true nature of Jesus, his true identity as the Son of God. They'd already seen him do some great things before they get to this passage. But here they realized that they needed to be still and know that he was God. Jesus made them focus on his person, who reflects the image of God himself. And when you get to that point, what would your question be? How do I grow in faith, Jesus? You've put me through all this. You said I've got little faith. I'm now awestruck before you. How do I grow? You see, Jesus was training these men because they were going to change the world, to do great things for God. How could they do that if they had little faith? God was preparing them for great things in their Christian lives. They wanted to be used by God, so they had to be trained. Their faith had to be strengthened. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. We won't attempt great things for God if we don't increase in faith. If we want a great service for God, if we want great faith, then we need to know God. It's by knowing God that our faith is strengthened. I'm just going to use Daniel as an example very quickly. It says, Daniel 11:32, those who know God will be strong and do exploits for him. Daniel 3:17, they will not fear because they know God is with them. I don't know what you know of Daniel, but he did great things for God. And he didn't always do it in the eye of the people. Daniel knew God and he exercised freely the faith that God had given him. In the 1930s, a series of earthquakes occurred in California, San Francisco. Something like 15% of buildings were either totally demolished or badly damaged. When the dust had settled, what they found was very interesting. That the buildings that were badly damaged and left standing were built in 1932. And that led to the question, well, what happened then? Why did these buildings stay standing? Well, in 1932, you see, the government passed a law to all architects that they had to build very solid foundations. They had to bolt the building onto the foundations. So every building from that point forward had to be bolted. So when more earthquakes came, and they had another big one in 1970, the bolted buildings were left standing. You see, the truth we know about God helps us to stand firm. Especially truth about God himself. You see, Jesus is the only foundation. And truth about him is what bolts us to him. But it's not just knowing about God. It's not just intellectual. It's really knowing him. We need to know him personally. You see, what calms our fear of sin? It's not just knowing Jesus forgives, but it's trusting and believing that he forgives. Only when do we know the weight of our sin is lifted because we trust and believe, is our sin and our guilt removed from us. But it requires faith. Faith, and we know that Jesus died and rose again and we believe it. We trust it. Faith that is strong from knowing Jesus. I'm just going to finish with this last comment. If you have little faith and you want to be strong, and I pray you want to be strong, you can still say the prayer of the disciples. You see, they went and woke Jesus and simply asked him, "Save us." And he answered. But this is the marvelous thing. Jesus is asleep in amongst this storm, this violent scene. Yet it's the cries of the people he loves that wakes him. You see, the weakest faith have God's loving and gracious answer. You can call to him and he will hear you. Amen.